Let's continue in our study of the Westminster Confession. And someone the other day said I spoke either too loudly or too quietly, and I can't remember who it was and which it was. So do let me know if it's too loud or too quiet. Something that I was doing could be improved. I forget what it was. Looking at chapter 21, section 5. The reading of scriptures with godly fear, the sound preaching and conscionable hearing of the word in obedience unto God with understanding, faith, and reverence, singing of psalms with grace in the heart, as also the due administration and worthy receiving of the sacraments instituted by Christ, are all parts of the ordinary religious worship of God, besides religious oaths, vows, solemn fastings, and thanksgivings upon special occasions, which are, in their several times and seasons, to be used in an holy and religious manner. Having discussed worship in general and prayer in particular, the Westminster Confession goes on in this paragraph to discuss other elements of public worship, such as to discuss other acts of public worship, as well as some acts of worship which can be public or private. Among the requirements, the ordinary requirements of worship, is of course the reading of the scriptures with godly fear. To read a portion of the scripture every Sabbath day was the practice of God's people from ancient times, we're told in Acts 15. God's people know that they need to hear God's word. What else can lead and guide them? Indeed, the Bible itself actually stresses the benefit and blessing that can be received when God sends His Word and when we read it out loud and hear it and keep God's Word. And so reading God's Word with godly fear is always a central portion of our worship, or central part of our worship. Another normal part of worship is the careful, sound preaching of the Word. Anthony Burgess, one of the members of the Westminster Assembly, once commented that preachers must dress every sermon at the glass or the mirror of the Word. They must preach as they read in Scripture. And that's why ministers are told in Scripture to preach the Word faithfully. But it's also, of course, important how we listen to preaching. We must listen in a conscionable way, that is, a careful or conscientious manner. We want the sort of expectant spirit that Cornelius and his household had as they waited to hear what Peter had to say to them. We need to listen obediently as well, not only being hearers, but also doers of God's word. And we know from the parable of the sower that we need to listen with understanding, or the things that we hear will easily be snatched away from us. And as we know from the solemn warning in Hebrews, our hearing will only benefit us if it is mixed or united with faith. Now, none of this can be achieved if the word is not heard with reverence. In November 1643, a member of the Westminster Assembly named Jeremiah Burroughs made use of a fragmentary quote from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, "And that trembleth at my word," to cultivate a little reverence among his hearers. His sermon does not tell his hearers to fear God. Instead, he paints a verbal picture of a God-fearer and allows his auditors to determine whether they fit that picture. A God-fearing man or woman, he says, doesn't come to hear the word in an ordinary way, just to spend so much time or to hear what a man could say. Rather, the word, either read or preached, is attended with all reverence. Such a one examines preaching, yes, but he doesn't dare cavil or sort of rail against it. Burroughs holds up Moab's King Eglon as an example to be followed by the saints. Not, of course, in his heathenish ways, Burroughs says, nor in his untimely and disgusting death, but as one who rose to receive Ehud as an ambassador with a message from God, as Judges 3 says. And then Burroughs pushes the knife a little deeper, questioning whether his hearers swell against preaching asking them what they really think about preaching, and pointing out the irony of those who think they've escaped the world, but still show the greatest pride in rebelling against the Word of God. Now, we're not only to use our ears in hearing, we're also to use our tongues in singing. We're to sing psalms with grace in the heart. Now, 17th century use of the term psalms doesn't refer to the book of Psalms only. And indeed, psalters included hymns with them. And the Westminster Divines here point our attention to a number of New Testament passages like Colossians chapter 3 or Hebrews chapter 5 or Ephesians chapter 5 and James chapter 5, which call us to sing praise in James' words or in Paul's words, to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But what's most important is that we are to make our melodies with all of our hearts. Half-hearted singing does not please the Lord. The final aspect of ordinary worship that ought to be mentioned is the due administration of the sacraments on the part of ministers and the due receiving of them on the part of church members. We're to celebrate two sacraments that are instituted by Christ, baptism and the Lord's Supper. That's what our Lord commands his disciples to do in part in Matthew 28. That's what Paul reminds us to do in 1 Corinthians 11, and that's what we see God's people doing in the book of Acts. All of these aspects of worship we offer to our God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But Scripture shows us, and later chapters in this confession we'll also discuss, that there's also a dimension of worship to our oaths when we call God as a witness, to our vows when we make promises to God. There are also prayerful fasts, as opposed to crash diets, that should also be a part of our private or public worship, as we can see from examples in Joel or Esther, Matthew or 1 Corinthians. And so, too, there are times for special thanksgivings on special occasions, as we see, for example, in the book of Esther, or as we hear in the book of Psalms. Each of these aspects of worship, whether public or private, a regular or occasional, has its own time and season. But in all situations, since, as the author to the Hebrews reminds us, we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and with awe. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would help us to worship you with reverence and awe and respect by the help of your Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us to be attentive in preaching and in listening, in reading your holy word, in praying and in praising. And all that we do, we ask that you would help us and make our worship acceptable, forgiving all of our sins and building us up so that we will serve you better. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.